I'm a bench warmer.
And welcome to the second edition of the Bench Warmers podcast. Daryl Waite and
Zane Powers, here we are.
And we're warming the bench. And tonight, we're going to have a little different format. We're both going to talk about a game that we thought last week was intriguing. Maybe a game that didn't end like we thought, or intriguing for some way. So I'll let you pick first.
Let's just be honest. Wasn't it so nice to have high school football back?
It really was.
And it was just nice to have somewhere to go Friday night. It was fun Thursday night, knowing that there was a game going on here in the area and being able to kind of keep up with how that was going. It's loved this time of the year.
Me too. It's good to be back in action.
It's kind of like Christmas in August, except it's a lot warmer. Yeah, the game that I wanted to talk about was took place in Panhandle at Panther Stadium between Childress and Panhandle. This game ended up having 95 points scored in it. Childress won the game by a final score of 68-27. And Childress is one of those interesting teams to watch because they're in the same district as Canadian. Is that, I think that's right.
That is absolutely correct.
And so they have had some really good teams over the past few years, but they run into a stumbling block that is Canadian. That's, you know, and you can't really say anything about that because Canadian is Canadian. And if you run into Canadian, you know, you can still have a great season and they'll knock you off. But we kind of pegged this one as a game to kind of see, for one, what Childress was going to look like. And then Panhandle's a team that also some people are talking about. Now, Panhandle's in a different classification than Childress, and so this was a 2A, 3A matchup. And Childress ends up winning this game 68-27, go on the road and defeat the Panthers 68-27. They led 41-13 at halftime. They scored 28 unanswered points to take that 41-13 lead there at halftime. They have a guy that, if you have not seen highlights, that you need to find a highlight of this guy. His name's Lamont Nickelberry. He had an 80-yard kickoff return. He also caught four passes for 43 yards and two touchdowns. He's a guy that you need to catch a highlight of. He's got incredible speed. Looked like he shot out of a cannon when he gets the ball. And he's going to be one of those dudes that, as the season progresses and as the season goes along, if Childress is going to be the team that's going to knock Canadian off, he's going to be one of the reasons why.
Well, that's interesting, and I agree. I thought that was going to be an intriguing game. What surprised me is the dominance that Childress had in that game. I thought Panhandle might defend them stronger, but that also may tell us that Childress is ready to take on the top dog.
Oh, man. It's going to be good. And I'm already, you know, we don't have to worry about looking forward. We can look forward as much as we want to. We're not coaches. We don't have anything else to do. We can look forward. And, man, I'm looking forward to that game between Childress and Canadian when it comes up.
Well, it is interesting that that's the game that you picked, because the game that intrigued me, and it's kind of for a different reason, is Canadian taking on West Texas High. And Canadian dominated West Texas High. I believe they had over 50 points in the first half. And the starters, I understand from someone who was there, played one series, and then everyone else was backups from that point on.
Oh, my goodness.
And the final score, I'm looking for that right here, was like 69-6. And here's why this game intrigued me, Zane. It intrigued me, first of all, because hats off to West Texas High. Canadian has a hard time finding people who will play them.
We understand that.
Yeah, we do. And we'll talk about that in a minute as well. But so that's one.
Sure.
It intrigues me because of that. But here's the other reason. Canadian is fresh off of a state championship, and they lost tons, in fact, 15 seniors who helped them lead to that state championship. And it looks like they're well on their way again.
Oh, man. No doubt.
And some people say, well, how can they keep doing this year after year after year? Well, there's many things that go into that. But I think you go back to 2000, and I may be wrong on this, it may be 14, and it may have been 13. I should have looked this up earlier. But they won back-to-back state championships, and they have played in the state semifinals every year.
Goodness gracious.
Since that back-to-back state championship. And I think it is seven consecutive years, maybe, that it is seven, that they have played at least in the state semifinals. And why can they reload then? Here's why. This is my whole point that I'm trying to make is they lost 15 key starters, but all of these young men who played Friday night and just played excellent, apparently, over West Texas High, they have, you know, if they're a senior, they've already had 10 extra weeks of practice.
Yeah.
Because they get to keep practicing during the playoffs. And amazing.
That really is. That's basically an extra season.
Yes. I mean, 2 years, extra season. You go back in the last 7 years, I would imagine that they have had 35.
To 40.
Yeah, 35 extra games.
Yeah.
Five a year, 35. And that's 3.5 seasons in 7 years. So you really played a season and a half more than a team that doesn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's something that we never really understood or I don't guess really thought about until we started having some success here and getting that extra, let's just say an extra month of practice in to where you're adding to your season another half season. You know, if you can play those five games. And there's no way of simulating that in practice. There's no way of trying to duplicate that in any other way. The only way that you can do that is you keep winning games in the playoffs and keep getting to have another week of practice, getting to have another week of practice. And that was something that we've talked about over these past two seasons where Dumas has had so much playoff success that our guys are getting to practice while all these other teams are sitting at home and they're done.
Yep.
Or they're bouncing the basketball.
Right. Right. So it's going to be interesting. And I thought it interesting that you picked Childress, I picked Canadian, and we're a few weeks away. Yeah. I'm kind of hoping it's our open week. We may have to make a drive over to Canadian. We did that a couple years ago.
Yeah, we did.
All right, let's talk about the Dumas Demons because we are both Dumas Demon fans. We bleed orange and black. Let's both talk about one thing that we noticed last week, and then we'll talk about one thing about this coming week against Lubbock as Estacada. Other than the obvious, Zane, and I'll kick it off, what I noticed is we played better defensively in the second half than we did the first half.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I think we were – one of the things that we saw that I didn't realize until after I got home and started kind of combing through the stats a little bit more was that we did point out at halftime – that Ryder was 3 out of 4 on third downs in the first half. In the second half, they were 0 for 9.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, what? I was looking at that. Can't be right. And so I started looking back through. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what they were. And so major adjustments made there in the second half to, you know, when you can stop a drive or at least force a fourth down. It changes a lot of things.
And the other thing, not only major adjustments, but the defense only had 3 returning starters. There were 8 young men playing defensive football who had never played a varsity football down.
Yeah.
And some of it is a first half of experience, relaxing, coming out and playing. Yeah. Because I have no doubt some of those guys were really nervous to start that game. And by the end of the first half, then that kind of went away. And so seeing that they played better and the statistics definitely show that, I just think speaks well of what we have to look forward to.
Definitely. I mean, you might look at a guy like me of my stature and my size, which is round, and think, well, you've played football, and I've never played a down of football. But I did play basketball, and I played basketball at a school that was known for basketball, and basketball was a big thing. And, in fact, my first varsity basketball game was the game after we won the state championship when I was a freshman. And so I can remember how nervous I was stepping onto the court when I got into the actual game. And it was, you know, the fans, the lights, the basket, and you're out there, you know, and everybody's watching you. It's different on that stage, that varsity stage, than it is from the freshman games, or different from the JV games, you know, where they're, you got mom and dad up there, and that's basically it, maybe some friends. It's different stepping out there on that field on Friday nights where you've got a town and a community that's watching you, and you've got radio and you've got cameras on the sideline, and there's just a lot going on there. So just taking all that in, I thought, you know, for the adjustments that our guys made, and maybe it was just a little bit of calming down and kind of getting into that, okay, we're here and this is going to happen. I think that I felt like the second half we kind of settled in.
All right. Did you have anything else about the game Friday night before we move forward?
Yeah, you know, I think something that's going to be interesting to watch going forward is the quarterbacks. As far as when we've been covering, we've never had kind of this dual quarterback type thing. And I think it's fun. It's exciting. I would say for teams that are preparing to play us, they've got to prepare for two slightly different styles. I mean, Braden is just a all around incredible athlete that can make a play out of a play that's busted. And I think we saw that a couple times on Friday night. And we also saw from Grayson how he has this incredible ability to be able to put that ball in such a tight window in a tight spot that makes him really special. And so they both bring some really special things to the table. I think, you know, Grayson, we're going to see kind of a more athletic side of him as he gets more comfortable. He's one of those guys that first time he's been on that stage where you had Braden, this is his third season being out, being a starter on varsity, even though he's played more defense than offense. But I think that's something that's exciting, something to watch for as we move in the weeks ahead. I think that we're going to see some special things out of both of those guys that are going to bring something to the table.
I agree with you, and I'm kind of looking forward to the night. And I know it's going to happen sometime this season. Either Braden or Grayson will be behind center. And then either Braid or Grayson will be a slot receiver. And we're going to say, wow, watch what's about to happen here.
Yeah.
Because I think that's coming.
Oh, sure. And I think, you know, either one of those two guys, they're athletic enough to be able to do that. And they both got the numbers that they could line up at receiver and nobody would think anything.
Right.
You know? And so it's going to be interesting to watch as kind of all that goes. And, you know, and the good thing also that we see out of Dumas, offensively, defensively, whatever it is they line up differently all the time. You know, they might come out in a set and they might run two or three plays in that set, and then all of a sudden they're in a completely different set. And so they're able to run and substitute players in and out. We saw, I think, five different players that had at least two receptions, and that's only going to get better. I think by the end of the season, you might be seeing six or even seven guys that are getting multiple catches a game. And so as those guys get more comfortable and as some guys kind of filter in and out of the game and the flow of the game, we're just going to see some special things out of this team.
I agree. Well, this week the Dumas Demons will take on Lubbock Estacada Matadors. So as you look to the team ahead, what is interesting to you?
Well, we know that Lubbock Estacado is going to be big, massive on their offensive line and their defensive line. We know that they're going to be extremely athletic. Lubbock Estacado, interestingly enough, was the team that we played in the championship of our 7-on-7 tournament here that was here in Dumas. And so going to be a little bit familiar with those guys and with that team. Now, 7-on-7 is a completely different ball game than 11-man football. There's no tackling. There's no offensive lines, no defensive lines. And trust me, that's going to make a massive difference in what happens and what goes on. But in saying that, in 7-on-7, one of the things you can do is if you have athletes, you can stand out. And we were toe-to-toe with them and actually beat them by a couple scores in that 7-on-7. So our guys, coverage-wise, man-to-man, zone, whatever they might do, were able to handle Lubbock Estacado in that setting where there's nobody rushing the quarterback. The quarterback's able to kind of read and make and go through plays. And so in that aspect, I think it's encouraging to know that we can handle that. It's going to be the same guys going up against each other. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. They're going to have athletes in all the skill position spots. They're going to have speed, and they're going to have size on the offensive line. So it's going to be important to see how our defensive line responds, how our offensive line responds to facing some big guys this week in after facing the same thing last week in Wichita Falls Rider.
Well, what interests me this week is very similar to you because I agree. We've already talked to Coach Dunham, and we know their offensive and defensive line of Lubbock Estacada is going to be massive, very similar to last week. They always have athletes. They always have speed. And under Coach, I think his name's Cluely. I think they're well coached.
Sure.
And they've had some great success. I think for Dumas, it's going to be all about establishing the rush. And I will tell, I would almost say this, if Dumas can rush for 180 yards, Dumas will win the game.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Because that'll open up passing lanes, and it'll just make the offensive more productive if they can get running the ball. And some people say, well, they got the big defensive line. Well, I'll remind you, Lubbock Coronado had a big defensive line, and we scrimmaged them, and we rushed the ball very well against them. Mm-hmm. And Paladura is – we're going to be talking about Paladura, I'm sure, later in the season. And they had pretty good defensive line. I don't know why we couldn't establish a rush this past week, but let's see what happens this week. I think it's going to be all about establishing the rush offensively.
Yeah, so you're saying watch out for James Bednors.
Yes.
Watch out for Zyrell Merga.
Yes.
Some of those guys coming out of the backfield.
And maybe even a little Braden Boggs rushing.
Yes.
Rushing. Rushing. All right, so we both have also, that's Dumas playing Lubbock Estacada Friday here in Dumas. Hope you'll come on out and watch that game. If you can't make it, then tune into the Big Country 95.3 FM. But, Zane, we've both picked a game that we think is kind of something that we wouldn't mind being there for this weekend, some high school games. In fact, we both mentioned the same game when we talked about this earlier. So I'll let Zane have this one, and then I'll choose another one. So you go first.
Yes, that first game was Tascosa playing at Midland Legacy.
Yes.
Formerly known as Midland Lee. They're playing there at Grande Com on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Tascosa looked incredible from the highlights that I saw in their game this past weekend. They've always been a team that establishes a dominant rushing attack and then uses the passing game, kind of as a decoy. I mean, they're definitely a run-first team, and they would probably line up at the ball, and the quarterback's going to go, we're going to run it. We're going to run it right here.
Yes, yes.
Stop us. See if you can.
And then they'll use the pass to keep you honest.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so Tascosa this past weekend against Abilene High, I mean, they just looked like they are going to be one of these teams from this area that's going to have a chance at having a deep run. They were one of the teams I think that we talked about last week that we feel like has they're not a team that probably anybody from outside of this area is talking a whole lot about. I don't think they're ranked right now.
Well, actually, I watched Dave Campbell's Texas Live at lunch today, and Tascosa cracked the top 10 of what now is called, I don't know if they still call it the AP poll.
Sure.
But they did move into the top 10 in Class 5A Division 1.
There we go.
Based upon what they did against Abilene High.
Okay.
And I think Midland Lee might be in the top 25.
Okay.
Or Midland Legacy, excuse me. And Midland Legacy, I really thought the Amarillo Sandies would hold their own against Midland Legacy.
Yes.
And they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the funny things, I think, you know, I mean, they've had to change their name from Midland Lead to Midland Legacy. Did you see their helmets?
No.
So their old helmets, you know, had the Lee written on the side, L-E-E.
Uh-huh.
And their new helmets still have that same logo, but it says leg.
Interesting. They just changed an E to a G.
It almost looks like they kept the same decals and just cut out the little part where the E is and stuck it down there and made it a G. So when I saw that, when I saw their highlights on TV, I thought, well, that's not Midland. They don't have those same helmets, do they? Maybe it says Legacy on the side. Nope, they did it up close. It just says Midland Leg. And so, anyway, kind of an interesting little tidbit there.
It is.
But, man, both of those teams looked stellar on Friday night. And I think this matchup in Midland is going to be really interesting to see because both teams, their offense was – putting up fireworks on either end, and then their defenses also played really tough. And so that Midland Legacy Tascosa game, something to watch out for.
Yeah, Midland Legacy is ranked 21 in the Class 6A rankings, and then Tascosa moved into the top 10, and they're ranked number 9 in the 5A Division 1. I think Tascosa will stay with them.
Oh, I do too.
So it'll be an interesting game. I agree with you. Now, the game that I'm picking is Bushland traveling to Hereford.
Mm.
And here's why. I don't think either one of us thought Bushland would beat Brock.
No.
Brock's a perennial powerhouse in Class 3A Division 1. Bushland and Brock played 2 years ago in the state. I don't know if it was regional finals or state semifinals. And then they played each other in the first game last year, and Brock just beat Bushland up pretty good. And then Brock did it again on Friday night. And Hereford was the one team that I thought would get beat last week out of District 3-4A, our district.
Yep.
But they're the only team that won. So now I'm wondering, has this new coach found something that maybe the old coaching staff didn't quite figure out?
Well, I think we'll know a little bit more after Friday. Hereford played Caprock on Thursday night, and, you know, who knows? Obviously, they did enough to win, which is pretty good.
Yes.
In a coach's debut. And I think Hereford's kind of one of those teams to kind of keep an eye on. I think, you know, all these teams with new coaches – new head coaches, our teams kind of got to watch because you've got to kind of maybe restructure what your thought process was on who those teams used to be. And we have seen with our own eyes what a coaching staff can bring to a team and how things can almost immediately overnight a mentality can change with your players and with the community and all that kind of stuff. And so Hereford's one of those to keep an eye on. I'm like you when going back through and seeing the scores, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. I really thought Caprock would dominate Hereford. You know, Hereford, we don't talk about this, but Hereford has, I want to say, 18 returning starters.
They have a lot.
They were pretty much sophomore and junior team last year. They only won 2 or 3 games. Of course, they make the playoff because they play in a 4-team district and then got beat in the first round. But still, they have some varsity experience. That's why I'm going to keep an eye on this game. If they can get past Bushland, then we're going to really start scratching our heads.
Yeah. Well, and this game is being played in Hereford.
Yes.
And so that's it's a tough place to go in and play to win. It's a hard stadium to go into, and so it's one of the few in the upper classification, maybe the only one that has grass fields still. And so it's just a little bit different place, kind of like walking into the Twilight Zone, going over there to Hereford. It doesn't smell well, but.
Anyway, well, yes. I think that's going to wrap it up. Do you have any final thoughts for the bench warmers?
I don't. I think, and we don't probably know much about these teams. Another good game to kind of keep an eye on is that Wellington New Deal matchup that's going on. It's a battle between two teams that are also ranked in the top 10, and I think that could be also one that is going to kind of tell a little bit about those two teams as well as they go into that matchup with each other down there. I think that game is in New Deal. Is that right?
I think it is, and New Deal is ranked 7th. According to the Dave Campbell's poll, and they beat Lubbock Trinity Christian last week 41-7. And I don't know anything about Duncan, Oklahoma, but Wellington lost to Duncan, Oklahoma 26-16. And so interesting to see what happens. We're going to find out a little bit about both those teams this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a good thought about those two teams. So, well, that's going to wrap it up for this edition.
Yes,
Zane,
sir.
It's been fun again.
It has been.
And we thank everyone for listening, and we thank the Big Country Craig Triple D for putting us on their website, and hope you enjoy this podcast from the Bench Warmers.